Hello and a very warm welcome to Spbusiness, the sports business podcast on the media platform Sport1. My name is Kim Scholze and I regularly have the honor of talking to special personalities from the sports and outdoor industry. We look at the sports and outdoor market at relevant content through the eyes of industry expert. I'm really looking forward to my conversation today with you, Richard. Richard Coyer, CEO, Jack Wolfskin. Hello, Richard.
Hi, Kim. How are you doing?
I'm very fine because I'm so excited to have you on the phone finally. I was begging for our podcast since you changed roles beginning of this year. Maybe before we start to look a little deeper into your market insights and what makes Jack Wolfskin in transformation at the moment, can you say who you are, what makes you tick? Can you introduce yourself, please?
Yeah, sure. No, I'm, as you said, Richard Collier, the CEO of Jack Wolfskin. I've worked in this industry for the last, 28 years, I think I figured it out. I started in 1993 as an intern at Adidas. I was actually kind of involved before that because I was an athlete and sort of sponsored by Adidas, but then they realized that I had probably a bit more potential to work for them rather than run for them. So,
in which sports was that? I didn't even know that.
It was in track and field and running. So, okay. Many moons ago. So yeah, that's how I kind of got into it, and you know, loved my time as an intern at Adidas, and kind of decided that once I finished my degree, that I would then want to have a career in this industry, and I've kind of been in and around the sporting goods and outdoor industry ever since. Worked for Adidas for 5 or 6 years. I worked for a consultancy called Kurt Salmon that works a lot with the sports and outdoor industry as well. So I did projects for both Nike and VF during my time there in the kind of early 2000s, which was very interesting. But I realized that consulting, you know, is great, but if you're also a keen outdoors person like I am, that it doesn't really match, because there was no work-life balance, and I wanted to make sure that I could actually do the sports as well as work in them. So I moved over back into the industry in 2003 when I joined Helly Hansen, which was a great journey that I had there until the end of 2020 when I came on board with Jack Wolfskin.
Yeah, you had... sorry, I continue.
No. I was going to say just as well as my business side, I'm a married man and I have 3 children. We live up here in Oslo in Norway and have done since 2001, actually.
Yeah, when we last saw us on the video call, I was so impressed because I thought it's a digital background. That happens always to the people in Scandinavia that I think, this is so amazing where you live. So,
yeah, that was actually at our cabin up in the mountains. So we're lucky we have a place up near Lillehammer up in the mountains. So beautiful up there, both in the winter and the summer.
Yeah, more than beautiful. So you said, so apart from your role at Helly Hansen, where most of the people that listen to might know you from, you moved now into a new role beginning of January, which was a big step for industry, not only because it's you, but also because it was Jack Wolfskin and Melody Harris-Jensbach. You were following her role since January. So can you share your personal journey and role? What's up with Jack Wolfskin? What made the last months so important for you, and where are you up to now? So let us live with you.
Sure. No, I mean, it was obviously it was an exciting change for me, and my first role as the CEO, so I was very excited about taking that on. See Jack Wolfskin as a brand that's already got amazing strength in the DACH region, but has huge potential outside of the DACH region as well. So I was very excited to start. The first weeks were not quite how I envisaged it, obviously, with the pandemic. And I actually started on December the 1st. And as you well know, Germany closed down on December the 16th with a hard lockdown. So within 2 weeks of starting the role, I obviously had to deal with our whole store portfolio in Europe basically being closed, which was not planned for. So that was a bit of a shock start. But I have to say, you know, our team has been incredibly resilient and professional in the way that they've handled such obstacles. And we've really, you know, come through that on the other side. And now, you know, 5-6 months later, we've basically got all our stores up and open again finally, which is, you know, fantastic. You know, first and foremost for the staff in those stores to get them back into work, which is great. But also obviously for us as a business to have that revenue coming back in is critical. So, you know, that's obviously been the challenging side of it, of having to basically come in and run a business digitally. I'm sure one of the you know, first people to have to come in and take over that role and do it all digitally for 6 months. So that's presented, you know, some interesting challenges, but it's actually, I think it's gone better than I expected from that point of view. I think the team's adapted really well to working digitally, to how to run those type of meetings. And I think the stage that we're in, where we've been working a lot on strategy, it's actually been okay to do a lot of virtual meetings. I think now, as our kind of strategy is set out, I definitely feel the need that we need to get back together as a company and spend time together, you know, reestablish the culture, because it's very hard to keep the culture going when everyone's sitting at home. So, you know, looking forward to spending time with everybody as we go forward and get people back in the office to a much greater degree than they are doing now as well in the second half of the year.
Yeah, and you shared also some ideas how you want to change work and how you got into transformation regarding let's say lower hierarchy team level. Maybe before we start looking into operative things and transformation ideas, what is like the most important thing you experienced between the change of roles? How do you see your personal let's say if we just have the idea of a intro from you saying this is Richard Pulley, is there something you want to share?
From a difference in the roles, I mean, yeah. You know, I think the, I mean, at Helly, I was you know, responsible for the product and the supply chain of the business, and obviously the big step up is having an overall responsibility, especially for the people that you feel that responsibility from day one. I think also the other operational areas, and especially for where Jack Wolfskin is at the moment, something like IT, we're doing a whole transformation project of all our IT systems, which, you know, that's not my strongest point, but I'm learning very quickly and you know, thankful for a great team around you. But yeah, you have to be a lot more big picture and looking at maybe areas that is not your own personal strength, but relying on people who are very good at what they do and trusting them to get the job done. So yeah, it's definitely fun.
And when we started having conversations around ISPO as well, because you were also taking part on some panels where we talked about sustainability and the Green Deals coming up, etc., you mentioned that there will be a huge transformation, that big things will come up with Jack Wolfskin. Maybe you can give us an intro, what happened the last 6 months and what will be the next big thing.
Sure, absolutely. I mean, the first thing that we've done is really go into the brand and the product and revitalize what we stand for, what the purpose of the brand is. And actually what we found out is really it was going a little bit back to the roots of the brand. The brand was formed around a campfire with a bunch of people who were looking to get out and explore the world and explore the outdoors. And, you know, we wanted to tap into that feeling again. We feel that it's very time right as people come out of the pandemic and want to get outdoors, want to reconnect with nature, want to explore the world again. We felt that going back to those roots, the outdoor roots of the company, was really important. And maybe over time, the brand had drifted a little too far away from that. So from a brand point of view, it's a revitalization, going back to the roots, really focusing on outdoors and what people can discover through connecting with nature and doing the activities that they love. So that's one side of it. From a product side, we really wanted to step up the game from an innovation and technical point of view. You know, Jack Wolfskin's a German company with fantastic designers and especially engineers, so developers and product engineers. And we want to bring that quality and innovation forward. And obviously today, innovation is focused a lot around sustainability. So we'll be doing a lot of sustainability innovation stories as we move forward. So a big change in the product portfolio, big change in the brand's focus. And then from a geography point of view, we're focusing on certain regions. So we actually are doubling down on our European focus. If you look at how strong the brand is in Dach, where, mm-hmm. you know, it's the number one outdoor
home
brand
spot.
Which in, you know, amazing market shares above 20% in the Dach region. As we go to markets around the Dach region, like a Benelux or Poland or Italy or the UK, you see, you know, a big difference to the market shares we have in those countries versus Dach. So we believe there's a huge opportunity in those markets to grow the business. So we'll be putting a lot of effort into that, as well as outside of Europe, our focus will be on China. We already have a very substantial China business. It's around 20% or so of the Jack Wolfskin business. But we think there's a big potential to grow in China. Obviously, the market is developing very rapidly. Consumers have more and more time to do leisure pursuits and outdoor activities. It's becoming more and more popular, and we think we're really well set to grow with the market in China.
Is there anything you want to share in terms of facts and figures around these? Because we later go into what you said, consumer attitudes, retail, and sustainability as well. But if you now we're looking at Jack Wolfskin regarding the business development, is there anything you can share in terms of market figures and the basis you put it, your transformation on?
I mean, obviously, I have to be careful. You know, we're a traded company. We're part of the Callaway Group, so we're listed in the US. So I can't share exact numbers, but what I can say is that 2020, along with the rest of the industry, was a difficult year for the brand. Obviously, we have a lot of our own stores, so that was tough to have them closed for so much of the year. We clearly made up some of that business with digital, not only our own digital, but other customers' digital businesses. So that helped as well. And we saw that when stores were open, there's a good demand for outdoor products, both apparel, footwear, and equipment, you know, especially tents and packs, as people started to get out and about again. As we move into 2021, what's great is we're seeing as countries reopen and stores reopen, that demand for our product is picking up really quickly, you know, both on the digital channels, but also thankfully in stores. I think a lot of consumers have missed the retail experience and want to go in and touch and feel products, receive great advice from staff in stores. And we've seen our retail levels since they reopened to be, you know, obviously better than 2020 levels and getting close to some of the numbers that we saw in the pre-pandemic year, like 2019. So quite a positive picture developing on the retail side of things.
Is there anything specific you can share on that one?
Not really.
I totally short answer. So if there is anything in market, that's what we had in our pre-conversation. If there is any figure you want to outline, because the consumer behavior changed so much in the last month, via COVID anyhow, but before there were already clear steps you're going to do with Czech Wolfskin, and this seems to be accelerated. So whenever you can feed our listeners with this kind of information, do that. And when we had our prep call, you said there are some things you want to mention regarding market shares and consumer behavior.
I think the growth levels are clearly, you know, very strong in digital. So, you know, again, I can't share exact numbers, but the first quarter of the year was getting close to 100% growth in those kind of digital channels, which is, you know, fantastic. And then, like I just mentioned, in the store environment, we start to see retail sales which are not too far off pre-pandemic levels. So I think, you know, that's what I can say about that.
And there is a specific field of consumer behavior you already mentioned, that people are motivated to get outside and to get energy somehow going. And I guess this is an important, not only playground for the brands we are all working with in our industry, but also to really be able to influence health and mindset, etc. That's an important topic, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think that's been the biggest plus for the outdoor industry in the pandemic, if there has been any, is that it's really got people to think about the way they live their lives and what they do with their days. And, you know, I think starting with people being kind of stuck at home for so long, whenever they got the opportunity to then be allowed to go outside, whether it be for a, you know, a walk, a light hike, a bike trip, people jumped at the chance and actually found that that's an essential part of their lives and something that they really missed. So the kind of adaptation of outdoor sports is really picking up again. And, you know, both in Europe and North America, we see that that's definitely a trend, that people want to spend time in the outdoors. And I think it's a benefit for all of us in the industry that we can really help consumers discover the outdoors again and discover how great it is. I think it's very positive.
And is there anything concrete you want to share, what will happen in terms of communication and empowering and everything you're saying? It's not only a good moment for the industry, but it also reflects how much responsibility we as an industry have to really support, and of course support it in a sustainable way. This is would then be the second part of the question coming to later, but are there concrete measures you are doing in campaigning or in anything you want to share?
No, I mean, I think all of our communication, certainly from a Jack Wolfskin point of view going forward, is going to be about helping people to discover themselves and discover the outdoor world in their neighborhood or, you know, in wherever they want to travel. So, you know, we want to be an enabler on that journey. We also want to provide information for people as well. So not just be, you know, someone who's trying to only do the hard sell. We also want to be a source of information and knowledge and, you know, a considered player in the outdoor world for people so that they can come to us and get information on topics, whether it be sustainability or rewilding or wolf preservation in our case. You know, we want to help people understand those type of issues and, you know, not always necessarily take a specific view on them from our point of view, but at least provide the information so people can make their own minds up as well.
A short break. Here comes an independent commercial. Commercial done, back to our conversation. Yeah, this is so like not only inspiring but also delivering a bigger picture. And before getting closer to the sustainability point, I guess when we had our conversation throughout the year in your new role, you also said on one hand it's really a challenge to onboard digitally, but also you mentioned also in this podcast already your wonderful team. How did you manage your company in times of change, also empowering the management teams and all the other teams and everybody to really make sure that the flow is going? Is there anything inspiring to share for our listeners where you say this was key, this was really helping?
I think the first thing is to actually let people know that they're empowered and that they're trusted. From day one, I wanted to make it clear to everybody that I am not the oracle. I don't know everything. That's why there's a bunch of employees in the company and they're all employed to do their job, and they're all, you know, pretty damn good at their jobs as well. So I think that's a bit of a misnomer that the CEO is kind of comes in and is expected to know and do everything. I definitely don't believe in that. I believe in hiring people who are actually better than me. So I think that's really what I've tried to get through to the organization, is that, you know, we have full confidence in them to deliver, and they should go out there and make decisions. And, you know, I also don't expect everything to be done correctly 100% of the time. People should make mistakes. That's how you learn and how you get better. I know I certainly have made plenty of those mistakes over the time, and hopefully it's improved me as I've gone along. But I think giving people that confidence as well, to know that they're not going to be hung out to dry if they do make a mistake, and that when we have, you know, things that aren't working perfectly, which happens, you know, every day, it's much better to talk about them and discuss them than hide them away. And so having that open, transparent dialogue and working collaboratively and no blame culture has been really important for us to do, especially when you can't be together. You've got to be dead open and straight with people, otherwise it just won't work. And so I think that's been part of our success during the pandemic, is that we've been able to work in that way and have those open dialogues.
It's a brilliant overarching attitude you have, which is also reflecting what you do in terms of transparency and transparency and also transaction for sustainability, because you as a person stand for various attitudes, and not only with the brands you work with. So Richard, can you give us an intro or an overview on how you see the pain points for the markets at the moment in terms of sustainability for our industry? And then you could also link to Dirk Wolfskin, what you see as a potential, or what you see in pain points. Where is the industry in terms of sustainability, and what are the pain points at the moment?
Well, I mean, I think firstly, it is a pain point. Obviously, we are, as an industry, a textile industry as a whole, have been traditionally a major polluter and not very sustainable. I'm very happy that the outdoor part of the industry, I think, has really been the leader of the change towards the apparel industry being more sustainable. I think the industry as a whole, we should be pretty proud of the work that's been done so far to kind of get everyone together and try and do things in a better way. I think, you know, I strongly believe that you can only do this as a group, as a whole industry, that if we try and play sustainability as proprietary information or a way to differentiate, I'm not sure that's the right approach. I think the right approach is to try and as an industry change and share learnings and kind of have an open information approach to sustainability and also to corporate social responsibility as well, of being open on who we work with and the levels of auditing and all those kind of things as well. So I think it all ties together. And I think the other thing with sustainability is that it is so huge, and there is so many topics to go after that.
Definitely.
You can't possibly as a company do everything or think of everything or follow every rule or regulation, because that's coming in more. You know, as an industry, we have to face the fact that we're going to be more regulated by government going forward. We need to get ready for that. And so therefore, yeah, trying to do it on your own is a no-go. It's got to be a collaborative effort. And that's why, you know, I've always strongly pushed partnering with European Outdoor Group, partnering with Blue Sign, you know, Sustainable Apparel Coalition. For me, that's all the right type of thing that we should be doing as an industry and trying to help each other.
Yeah, this is great. And I guess this is where we will have lots of discussions in the future, or collaborative conversations. Is there anything you want to highlight in that journey? What's the biggest change, or what is affecting especially brands, whether EU or global, regarding to climate change and regulations, legislative regulations? Is there anything you want to highlight?
No, I mean, I would highlight that change is coming, really. I mean, just, you know, in Germany, this last week, they passed a new regulation about supply chain transparency, that from 2023, we have to take into account. I think there's going to be environmental, sustainable packaging and disclosure regulations that are coming in. So, you know, I think the key is that you've got to understand your supply chain and what is happening in it to a very detailed level, not only stopping at tier one, but you've got to go down to your tier two and tier three level suppliers. So really into the materials, to the raw materials. So you have a good control on, you know, all the inputs into the process, so that the output, which is the products that we sell, are in good shape, and that we know what's in them and the footprint that they leave. And I think one thing that the outdoor industry is on the whole is pretty good at is actually making quality product and making sure that as we, you know, move to more circular economies, making sure that products can last, but when they don't last, that we can dismantle them and reuse them in appropriate ways. And I think we're helping lead the way on that. No one's doing it perfectly yet, but I think it's making big steps right now.
And brilliant, thank you, because that is a quite good intro even for those who are not into. We will share some additional links in the show notes if it comes to tier one, tier two, tier three. And also what you are mentioning is the end of life cycle, which is so important, getting closer to this. And as more people, as we get involved into recyclability and closing the loop, is so important, I guess. So thanks for that insights. And yeah, sorry.
And I was just going to add, you know, I've got teenagers in my house here, and for them, it is completely normal and natural to reuse and resell and use re-commerce. It's huge for them. That's basically how they do their apparel buying now. And I think it's if we as an industry don't provide for that, then it'll come back to bite us in the future years, because this generation is going to be a lot more concerning around re-commerce.
It's a question of business models, because we had that conversation yesterday as well, and like we were various age groups, and it was so obvious that all above 40 cannot really imagine to wear worn jeans, worn clothing, etc. And we have like generations in between what needs to be done right now, because it's not only on sustainability, it's also on the value for themselves. So it's as if it's integrated already.
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah. That's so interesting. So if you are prepared, Richard, I know that we can have like our talks for hours. I hope we have various stages where we can share our ideas and visions and how you will evolve with Jack Wolfskin on different levels. But seeing it for now as our podcast, I would like to move to some short questions, which may be outlining your life and what your attitude is. So if you are prepared, I would lead into this.
All right, fire away.
Fire away. So this is all under the rooftop of how could this happen to me, whether in a positive or in a challenging way. So my first question, Richard, would be your most embarrassing business moment.
Yeah, I thought about this one. I would actually go back to the start of my career when I was a young product manager and I was super excited to get invited to the Adidas and Foot Locker Golf Day. And I was fortunate enough to be asked to play the first shot of the day. So I had a whole gallery of the most important buyers in the footwear industry watching me and all my colleagues, all the big bosses. And I managed to step up and I did a total air shot and missed the ball. And to much laughter from everybody involved. So yeah, I remember that as being pretty embarrassing.
Your biggest surprise?
I think for that one, I would say when I started at Helly Hansen, I actually started there to come in as the retail director. But then on the first day, the CEO at the time said, don't worry about retail, that's running okay. Why don't you start a footwear business for us? So instead of starting as a retail director, I had to start a footwear business from scratch. So that was, quite a surprise that worked.
Your most outstanding idea?
I would, I don't know if I would have any one thing that I would try and pull up for myself. I think, having good people around me who have better ideas is normally the best idea I have. Yeah.
Your craziest trip?
That one, I've had some strange ones. Probably the craziest of all was one to Chile, where me and a colleague ended up at a outdoor workwear trade show in the Antofagasta desert after 40 hours of traveling and not having a hotel to go to, and ending up sleeping in bunk beds after having drunk a lot of pisco sours in a random house. So yeah, that was pretty crazy, but a lot of fun.
Your best deal?
Keeping it from a business point of view, I think it would be the deal that sold Helly Hansen to Canadian Tire a couple of years ago. The business, when I joined Helly, it was basically coming out of a financial restructure, so worth pretty much zero, and the business at the time was sold for a billion Canadian, so that was a pretty good deal that we did.
You can also add your personal one if you like.
Well, I have to say marrying my wife, because that's what everybody says on this podcast, so she'll kill me otherwise.
Correct. Your contribution to make the world a little better.
I think, I tried to always encourage people to be the best version of themselves. As long as people are trying their hardest and giving 100%, then you can't ask for much more than that. So, I always tried to encourage that.
Your most inspiring business... No, not your business moment. Totally into that business one. Your most inspiring moment, or what inspired you in a special or sustainable way?
I'd probably go more to like a person. I mean, when I was at Adidas, my first boss there, a guy called Michael Pivito, was an amazing creative product manager, and he taught me that you got to choose your own path, go for it, and believe in it, and know that not everybody's gonna like it, but if you believe in it and push it, then it's the right thing to do. And don't worry too much about what other people think of you or think of what you're doing, as long as you have belief in what you're trying to do. And you know, really thought that was, it really helped me in the early part of my career to certainly from a creative point of view, to just go for it when you've got a vision of what you want to do.
And this is normally not the way, because the next question already coming up, but is there any specific you want to share on that way, because that must be in the last 6 months a lot of your mantra thinking of a special way, isn't it?
Yeah, I think for what I've been trying to help people at Wolfskin with is that it's an amazing brand. It's one of the biggest brands coming out of Europe in the outdoor industry. It's got a wonderful heritage, and we have a great DNA, and we should be proud of that DNA and use it to have a point of view on the market that's a little bit different from everybody else's, and yeah, try and stand out. And that's what we're working on right now.
And is there something you want to share in terms of a podcast or a book or anything specific?
Yes, I've got an author who I really like, a writer I really like, is a guy called Matthew Syed. He's a former Olympic table tennis player, but he started as a sports writer and now writes about a lot of things and writes about business. But he has two books called Diverse Thinking and Black Box Thinking, which are really great books about diversity, about innovation, and about learning, which I would thoroughly recommend for anyone to read.
Wow, cool, thank you. And is there any reliable source which is your, like, where do you get your beliefs from, or to share visions, where is your most important source for yourself?
No, I think it's keeping my eyes and ears open and listening to what people have to say, observing what's going on. I think that's probably what I would say to that.
A little yourself, right?
Yeah.
Is there anything you want to share additionally? Because the last question would be, how can people get in touch with you? If you say there are some answers which are duplicating themselves, it's obviously LinkedIn. So,
I think that's probably the best way, is through LinkedIn, for sure.
And if we see our last conversations also regarding a stage and panels, we had the question, what would you put on a card? Or is there anything you want to, like, have as the blast for our industry? What should we do? Is there anything for the ending of our podcast you want to share? And anything else you want to contribute to the day of the listeners?
I always struggle with those kind of those questions, because I think there's each brand and each company has totally different challenges that they're dealing with on every day. But I think, you know, we're lucky that we work in a great industry. It's so many fun people to work with. I think that's the reason that most of us stay in the industry, is that we actually enjoy it and we really like it. I'm sure, you know, many of us could go and work in other areas, but honestly, it's boring when you compare it to what we do. So I think that, you know, we shouldn't forget that even when we're having tough days, it is a fun industry. It's also doing a bit of good for the world, getting people out into the outdoors and enjoying themselves. So yeah, I think that's my message, is make the most of it.
Make the most of it. Thank you very much, Richard. It's always inspirational, fun, and also very high quality having a chance to talk to you. Thank you very much.
And pleasure.
I'm looking forward to the next time. Take care and have a
good
day.
Speak soon. Thanks.
Speak soon. And for our listeners, of course, as always, if you like what you hear, please share, like, and spread the word for our wonderful industry. Thank you.